the middle of church. All right, he's going to make it. We're going to be okay. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing well? Doing good? Thank you for having me. I didn't know we were going to make fun of everybody's razors and beards, so I hope nobody takes a shot at me this morning. It's pretty funny, a guy that has a goatee making fun of somebody that didn't shave any, but they have a word for that in Scripture. I think it's hypocrisy. I don't know. All right. just want to, David, I have a microphone. I can say whatever I want to say. Just want to say thank you for allowing my family and I to come and be with you another time to be able to bring God's Word to you. I have a great affection and love for this area as I was able to pastor here for a short while, and then have a great love and affection for your church. You've always been very gracious to me and my wife and our kids, and just very grateful in how you receive the Word. I think that says a lot about you. A church is not good because of its size or even its so much influence all the time. I think a church has to do with the Spirit and its life. And you can tell that you have great spirit about you with the way you love one another, but also with the way you receive the Word. And then I just also have a great love and affection for your pastor and his wife. Just very thankful for them, thankful for David and Miss Sandy. They're always very gracious and grateful to me and my family. We just love you guys, very appreciative of you, and very thankful for the time to where we can able to be together. We are good friends. Every time we come together, we just laugh a little bit, pick on one another, and just have a good time encouraging one another in the Lord. Everybody always asks all the time how I met David, because I am considerably younger and cooler and better looking than your pastor. And we met at school. I thought he was the teacher. He sat at the front. He was so old. But then I found out he was one of my classmates. So very thankful for him. And saw him at school. And then we became good friends when we came up the mountain. So very grateful to be here with you. So I want to encourage you before we get started this morning to go ahead and set aside some time this week to make it a priority to be with us. You'd say, well, you want us to be here so we can hear you preach. Well, I want you to be here because I think God's going to work and I think God's going to speak. And I wouldn't want to miss an opportunity to by which God could speak to you. And I think he speaks to us through his Word. And therefore, it has really nothing to do about me. It has to do all about with God's Word. Because I can guarantee you what this week will not be for me. This is not just a week for me to come and hang out with a good friend. This is not just a week for me to come back and see old friends that I was able to pastor in my day. This week has been set aside as we seek the Lord together here at South Fork Baptist Church. Our prayer has been that we would see revival, that we would just be able to glimpse for a brief moment the presence of God. And maybe we would be different by being in his presence. That's my hope and prayer this week. I hope you'll join me in that same prayer as we just want to see God work. What would be amazing to get to the end of this week, and the only way we can define what happened through Sunday through Wednesday is that it was the move of God. That's what we want. We don't want good preaching, good services, and just good singing. We can do all those and not have the Spirit in here. What we want is a move of Almighty God. We want to encounter his presence through his Word, through his singing, and through fellowship. But we want him to show up in a mighty way. Because why? Because if he shows up, he can do anything. He can save and restore and redeem. He can set free. He can bring fellowship and relationships back together. He can bring our marriages closer, our family closer. And he could do a life-changing work in the life of this church. And hopefully we'll get to the end of this week and we'll see that God showed up and God moved and that we will never be the same for it again. So, that all out of the way, let's get into God's Word this morning. I'm going to preach a different sermon this morning. Turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to do a little something different to start off a revival meeting. I just felt like God told me to preach this, so we're going to go with it. But looking forward to gathering in his Word every night, so Daniel chapter 3, we're going to do two or three verses together. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. So when you get there, I'm going to ask you to stand back up as we honor the reading of God's Word together. I'm going to read three verses, but I'm going to share the context before I preach. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. For if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us during this time. God, I thank you for these folks that have come this way today. God, may this just be a beneficial time as we get in your word. Your word tells us it's inspired by you and it's profitable for us. So God, I pray that that would be the case today. Lord, may this not be about me. May this be about you. God, may I decrease so that you could increase. May your power and presence be felt in this place. God, may your word be preached. May Jesus Christ be exalted. God, may lives then be changed. And God, may you be glorified in all that we say and do here today. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to start off with kind of an odd topic on Revival Sunday of God is good all the time. When I went down to Sweet Home Baptist Church, how great is that? Just a Alabama church, a Sweet Home Baptist Church. Everybody says all the time, well, do you play the song before you go up and preach? No, we don't, but that might add a little flair to it. I don't know. They'd probably get more excited about the song than they would the preaching. But here we are at Sweet Home Baptist Church. But if you walk up on the stage, you kind of grow and learn your people a little bit. And if you walk up on the stage and you anytime say the fact that God is good, they will in turn shout back at you, which shocked me the first time. I'm used to a couple people shouting at me, but never good in the service. But they shout at you a little bit, and they'll shout out all the time. And then if you follow it up with all the time, they'll shout back at with you, God is good. And I think we believe that, and I think we preach that. But we're going to do a little something different this morning, and we're going to talk about the fact that God is good all the time. Sometimes I think we get to the point where God is good only during the good times. And therefore, when tough times come our way, when hard times come our way, when trials come our way, when struggles come our way, we think to ourselves, where is God? And he's not good because my situation is not good. Things are not going well. I'm going through a tough situation, and therefore I find that God is not good to me right now. Well, let me tell you something. The basis of my sermon before I preach is this. God is good all the time. Not based off of your circumstances, situation, based off his nature and his essence and his character. You know why God is good? Because he is good. You know why he's good all the time? Because he never changes. Therefore, whatever you're facing this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever trial you find yourself in, I promise you this, God is still good. And some of us are going through very hard times. There's not a week or day that goes by as a pastor that you don't walk through a valley with someone that is struggling with maybe a phone call that they received from the doctor, and that phone call didn't go the way that they thought that it was going to go. Prayers had been made, and yet the doctor still called, and he said those words we never want to hear, and that is, it's cancer. Maybe you received a phone call like this past week in Alabama in Huntsville, which is only 30 minutes from my house and our home, where a student ministry was on their way to a mission trip in Botswana, and their bus flipped over, and a young 17-year-old girl went on into glory. Can you imagine that phone call? Can you imagine the fact that just a day later, not even 12 hours later, her mother and dad stood on stage at a press conference before all of Atlanta and now all of the world on Facebook and essentially said that God is good and he's good all the time. Guys, therefore, when we go through tough times and hard times, things are not always going to be the way we think they should be. Sometimes we're going to be criticized. Sometimes we're going to have sickness. Sometimes there's going to be slanders on our way. Sometimes we're going to go through tough times and hard times. And that's not up for debate this morning, because if we want to just sit here and say to ourselves in the context of our illustration, well, Pastor, once I came to know Christ, we're never going to go through hard times, we're never going to have hard situations, and we're never going to go through anywhere tough. I just got a word for you. It's Greek, and it's called baloney. I mean, that's just not the case. Sounds good. Gets you a big crowd. Makes everybody feel real special. But if you want to preach the Word of God, you're going to have to throw a lot of verses out of Scripture that continuously tell us that we're going to have this. Actually, I don't want to be a downer on the first Sunday. You'll never come back. But we're going to have it tougher than we have it better. You're going to have to rip James 1 out of the Bible when you encounter various trials of various kinds. You're going to have to take 1 Peter out of the Bible. Do not count it a surprise when you encounter trials. Don't count it a shock. You're going to have to take Timothy out of the Bible, where he says all those that desire to live a godly life will suffer persecution. You're going to go through a tough time. You're going to have to take Paul's ministry out of the Bible, because if it's all about happiness, Paul wasn't the least bit happy at times. He was going through a tough time. At most, he was beaten, abused, shipwrecked, naked in there in the end of 2 Corinthians. You say, well, Pastor, you're just a little bit of a downer. We didn't invite you all the way from Alabama for you to be a downer. I want you to know this. If you get anything this week, I want us to uplift and exalt the mighty name of God through Jesus Christ. And you're going to see today that even though you go through tough times, that God is still good. And he's good all the time. And I don't know why I'm preaching it this morning, but I think somebody needs to hear that. I don't know if you're listening to me right now and you're going through something that you just think is going to overcome you and overwhelm you, then maybe you just need to hear that this morning, that things may not turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. You may get the phone call from the doctor. You may get the phone call about your children. You may get the phone call about your job and they're going to be letting you go. You may not have everything work out the way you want it to work out, but I want to reassure you this morning, God is still good, and he is good all the time. And in this verse this morning, which is one of my favorites in this whole passage, we just got done with Vacation Bible School this week. We've sang all the songs. We've drank a lot of Kool-Aid. But this is our Vacation Bible School story of the past that we learned about all the time as young kids. There they were, the three friends of Daniel, set before the King Nebuchadnezzar. He's given them an ultimatum. And we won't go into the whole story, but King Nebuchadnezzar makes a big statue of himself and says, when the trumpets play, when the flutes play, when all the instruments play, everybody better hit the ground, and they better hit the ground fast. May they bow and worship me. And therefore, the trumpets played, the lyres played, the flutes played, and everybody hit the ground. But there's three men standing, three friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bow, they would not bend, and guess what they didn't do at the end? Good gracious, guys, I'm an alliterating fool. They didn't burn. It all works together. And yet here they are, that must have been men of great character and integrity, which we're going to talk about here in a second, because he gave a creed to say that all those that did not bow would die, and yet he gives them what? A second option. Gives them a second chance, because the verse that we just read, he brings them back together and he assumes that they maybe didn't hear the command the way he gave it, and he gives them another chance to make right with what that they have made wrong, and they look at him and they give him this response, which gives me great hope and strength every time I read it. And they essentially say this: there's no need to ask the question of what we will do when you play the music, because our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, if we die in the fire, God's still good. God's still great. And God's still worthy of our praise and adoration. Because he's God. And therefore, sometimes this morning, maybe we just need to come to that conclusion in our own lives. That guess what? If things don't turn out the way we think they're going to turn out, and our kids don't turn out the way we think they're going to turn out, and our little life doesn't happen the way we think we're going to turn out, God's still good, and God's still worthy of our praise and our adoration. Three things this morning on trusting God during hard times. First of all, there is a relationship that is there. They say to themselves, if our God, whom we serve, there's a relationship that's been established by which there is a servant-master relationship by which they are doing what he has required them to do. The only ones that are going to be able to understand going through trials, tribulations, and giving glory and honor to God is those that understand that it's not about them, that it's all about God. That they understand that his sovereign will is at play, and therefore they will do whatever the master has required for them to do. Because here's the truth. Not everything we go through bad is just of the devil. Some things that we go through in times is the things that God has authored and allowed in our life in order to bring us closer to him. Hey, sometimes, I mean, we blame the devil on everything, don't we? I think he's up for some things, but some things are just on us, and some things are on the Lord as he allows us to take us through tough and hard times in order to point us more toward him, and that our faith would increase, and that we would give him glory in the midst of our suffering. I preached on that last year. I'll preach on that again this week. There seems to be this life of suffering that gives God glory and gives God honor through Scripture, and yet most of us, we don't want to suffer the least bit. We don't want to go through the least bit of a hard time, and we wonder where God is when we go through it. And he says right here, I'm just establishing it right here. There's a relationship that's taking place that whatever God wants from me, I'll do. Wherever God wants me to go, I'll go. Whatever he puts me through, I'll stand the test of time, because why? He's mine, I'm his, and I'm just going to follow after him with everything I have. It's not an option. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, there's no need to ask the question again. I've established in my life that my life is not my own, that my life is one of God. And therefore, you don't need to ask it, because I heard it correctly the first time. I didn't want to stand down, because I'll never bow down to your gods. I will only stand for the one true God, and he's got me through this, because he's my Father, I'm his son, he's my master, I'm his servant, therefore I will follow him wherever he takes me, and if that's the case, I'll go to a fiery furnace as well. And we look at it. We look at it from the end of the story. Well, good gracious, preacher, they knew they was going to get out of that fiery furnace. Preacher, come on, there's an angel dancing with him in there. I think it was Jesus Christ. Well, hey, they obviously, guys, there is no indication that they know that they're going to be free. Now, they know that there's the ability to be free, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But there's no indication that they know they're getting out of this alive. They just know this. Wherever God takes them, they're willing to go. Man, can you imagine that? If that was us in here today? That we just established one thing, a relationship. And understood that whatever he takes us through, wherever we go, whatever we face, it's up to him. We're going to leave it to his trust and desire, and we're just going to trust him and go wherever we have. Most of us want to tell God what we're going to do, how it's going to look, and where we're going to go. Nancy Lee DeMoss said we need to get a blank sheet of paper, sign our names, and say, God, fill the rest in, and we'd be okay with it. There's just a relationship that takes place. And these three friends go through tough times and understand that God is good, because they have a relationship with God. I'll tell you this. Some of you are going through tough times and struggle with it. It's because your faith is in yourself. Your faith is not in the God who you have a relationship with. And then some of you struggle. I'm just going to preach a little bit. Y'all okay? It's a little different sermon for the first day. I thought I'd get this one out of the way, and then we just shuck it the rest of the time. Okay? Y'all okay? Most of you struggle and throw a hissy fit all the time. And let me tell you this. I'm preaching at myself right here. Good gracious. Your pastor knows more about me. When I go through tough times, he gets more phone calls than humanly possible. So don't act like I got this all figured out either. He'll tell on me if he gets up here in a minute. But most of us struggle with our going through tough times because we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ anyway. We don't understand what it's all about to be for him to live and for us to die, for our life to be about Christ. But these three friends and Daniel himself seem to indicate that their relationship established, that they could go through tough times and hard times and understand that God was still good. But not just a relationship. Look what they say about the resources. This is the good part. I am going to shout a little bit on this. But he says, this be so, our God whom we serve, he's able. He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. So as he says right here that I can go through tough times and hard times, not only because I have a relationship and understand that wherever he takes me, it's okay in his will, but he also can do anything and everything greater than we ask or think. Hey, here's the truth. He does take us through tough times, but he can easily get us out of the tough times. Our God is able to overcome anything. The beautiful part is, just because you get that phone call that says you have cancer, we still serve a God who can get rid of cancer. We have a God that can take the prodigal child and bring him back to the Lord. Hey, guess what? My child's gone too far. He can't come back. Now, guess what? God can save that child, bring him back, and do anything he wants to. Why? Because our God is able to do anything greater than we ask or think, is what Ephesians says. Jeremiah tells us when we call out to him, he'll show us great and mighty things. Why? Because God can do anything he so desires. Do you know that this week? That's why we seek his face. That's why we come in this place. Because God can do anything he wants to do this week. What are you praying for? Let's ask him to do it. I mean, just think about what he did in Scripture. I mean, I've seen some pretty able things. Moses stood there at the sea. All of a sudden, God did what? He said, I'm able to part it and let you walk on through. And when the enemy comes through, I'll drown them and go your way. Hey, Esther, I'll tell you how able I am. I'll give you the strength and might to walk before the king, and your lives and your people's lives will be spared. Hey, David, here's how able I am. Go out there to that Goliath who's talking about me and disrespecting the glory of God, and you'll knock him on his tail. Hey, Nehemiah, take no effort of your own, and yet I'll give you the resources, the recommendations, the money, and you go down there and you build the wall that nobody else could build because I'm able to do anything greater than I ask or think. Hey, Daniel, you get there in a lion's den, and they may want to eat you for a little while, but you'll be fine. Just have a sleepover for a little while because I'm able for those lions not even to touch you. God is still able. He can feed the 5,000. He can heal the lame. He can make the blind to see. And I got news for you. If you've never been a part of any of those miracles, at 21 years of age, God saved a sinner like me. If he's able to save a sinner like me, he's able to do anything greater than we ask or think in here today. So therefore, you may be going through a tough time, but God's able. Hey, once in a while, you'll loosen up. You realize we're at church and we're about to have a good old time. Here's what I preach. God's able, and y'all just look at me like, well, that's fine. Y'all don't believe it, but I sure do. I've seen him do too many things. I tell you what, you better believe he's able. You better believe he's able when you get that phone call about cancer. You better believe he's able when you're looking at the end of the fiery furnace. You better believe he is, because he establishes the quality right here that God's not good just based off the fact of what he does for us. God's good, ready for it, based off of who he is. God's not good because it works out the way you think it. God's good because he's good. And therefore, he says right here, and I think he just has a little preface every once in a while. I preface all my sermons. That means I'm going to tell you something in order to tell you something. And he just wants to establish something real quick to King Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, King, if God wanted to handle this, he could. And if God wants to get me out of the fiery furnace, he can. But if he don't, that's fine. He's still good. If God wants to get rid of the cancer, he can. If God wants to heal your marriage and family, he can. If God wants to get you out of the tough situation that you're going through right now, he can. That's not up for debate, because we serve a God who can do anything he wants to do. I've watched him do it. God can do anything in this. But I don't want you to praise God just for what he's done as much as just who he is. I mean, so many times, at least I see it in my own life and in my church's life, we love God when things are great, when things are going well, and we struggle to give him acknowledgement and glory when things are going tough. Can you imagine what he could do with a people that just said, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to trust God. Because I have a relationship with Him, and I understand that He can do anything and everything. And therefore, I'm just going to do whatever He's asked me to do. Because the resources are there that He can pour into your life, and He can take them out of the fiery furnace. Trusting God in the tough times. Now, I breezed through my first 2 points, and you think we're about to get out of here. Settle down. We breezed through the first two so that we could get to the last one that's going to take just a little bit. Amen? Hope that baptism water is real warm. And that is, if you trust God, you leave the results to Him. Three words that change this whole dynamic in this situation. But if not. But if not. If nothing changes. If God never gets rid of my cancer and takes me on out of this world, He's still good. If God never brings my children back to the way I think that they should be, God's still good. If people constantly criticize me and say bad things about me all the time and don't really know who I am in God, and they say the worst things about me and they spread rumors and lies and accolades, and if God never changes that, that's still okay. Because God is going to have the results in the end. And the results seem to indicate that God is good at everything that we do. I can't help but read this verse and then slip over to another verse. I usually don't do that, so I'm just going to read it. I usually just stay where I'm at. But every time I read about going through hard times and tough times, there's always a verse that just puzzles me. You ever have some scripture that you read that you just think, man, that is good, but that is hard to live? And one of them is 2 Corinthians 4:18. I think it's very fitting that this is 17 and 18 of chapter 3 in Daniel, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18, it talks about what? Do not lose heart. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing you for a weight of glory. It is producing in you endurance, preparing you for a weight of glory. Now, let's just ask this question and then I'll move on. How many of you feel like what you're going through right now is light? How many of you feel like when you do get the phone call of a lost loved one, that that's just light? How many of you get to the point where you do get the phone call of the doctor that does not go the way that you think, and you immediately come to the fact of what I'm going through right now is light? And yet those are the exact word that God tells us that every struggle we have and every tough thing we go through is light. Now the truth is, we think that it's light based off of we're just going through something that's light. No, that's not. It's pretty heavy what we're going through. It's light in comparison to something else. And what's it light in comparison to? The eternal weight of glory. Which means what? Which means whatever we are going through here is nothing compared to the result and prize we're getting later in Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. I may sit down and say amen to that one. Do you get that? Whatever you're going through. I mean, can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You think what they're going through is light? They're about to throw them in a fiery furnace, and here in a minute they go, it's already hot. They're going to make it hotter. So I'm going to get thrown in. Well, why is it light with what you're going through? Because of what we're getting in the end? Can you imagine what we're getting when we step into glory? You say, well, I'm getting heaven. I'm getting everything that heaven brings to the table. So many times we get excited about heaven. I've probably preached it before. I'm excited about heaven for one simple thing. Jesus Christ is there. My prize is there. And he says it's a light momentary affliction according to my weight in glory. Why? Because what we've got prepared for us and who's there is greater than anything we're going through. And there's nothing we've gone through that he didn't have to go through. And there's nothing that we go through that we don't go through it without him by our side. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, we understand that everything we are going through is light and momentary and actually working for us and producing something in us that's good for us. Therefore, we do not lose heart. In fact, that verse goes on to say what? Don't look at those things that are seen, but look at those things that are unseen. Because something is temporal, this is eternal. I get excited every once in a while about what we're getting in Jesus one day. I mean, are y'all ready for that? Can you imagine? We sing that song. Ready for it? I can't sing worth a lick, okay? Y'all okay? Y'all alive? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. Somebody needs to check some of y'all's pulses. I don't know if y'all realize y'all at church yet. I mean, I'm behind on the time. I'm from Central Time, but I still know where we're at. I can only imagine. Now, here's the truth. You ready for it? You can't. There's actually a verse that says we cannot do that. I'm not hitting that song, but here's the truth. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the Son of Man can imagine what he has prepared for us. Why? Because whatever you imagine, it's better. Good gracious, that's good. Whatever you come up with, it's better. Here's what we're going to get. We're going to get eternal hope in heaven. We're going to be with Jesus forever. We're going to get our mansions. We're going to see all those things. And I just imagine how good it's going to be. It's better. Therefore, whatever you go through now compared to that is light. Whatever you go through that is momentary because that over here which is good and great and is God through Jesus Christ is eternal. Therefore, whatever we go through is just light momentary affliction according, compared to the eternal weight in glory. That's why these boys said to themselves, put me in the fiery furnace because I have a greater reward coming. Something's greater than what I'm going through right now. Do you get that? See, it seems so eternal right now. What you're going through, and by goodness, I would never, never downplay what some of you are going through. By no means do you hear me just say this. You know, just walk by and say, you know, hey, I know you're going through a rough time. Suck it up, buttercup. Come on, get on, get away. You know how you do your kids sometimes. Y'all like that? First kid, David made fun of me yesterday because that's all he does, make fun of me. Y'all invite me up here. Y'all treat me nice. Whatever. He does what he does. First kid, y'all, how many parents we got in here today? Good gracious, that's an easy question. Y'all looked around even shocked about that. Your parents or not? You got kids? You're probably a parent if you didn't know you had any kids. Amen? You're so destroyed, so disrupted. First kid, they fall down, you do what? Oh, goodness gracious. She's bleeding on her knee. Just a little scab. Just a little one. Let's take her to the doctor. We need an MRI. CT. I don't know. Let's get an ultrasound. I think we need one. No, I think she's got third child. What do? Get up. It's your fault. If you wouldn't have been playing with that knife, you wouldn't hurt yourself. You know better than that. So by no means am I coming here and saying this. Get over it. What you're going through is not hard. So just suck it up and go on. That's not what I'm saying. No, if anything, we empathize with you. We sympathize with you. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We bear one another's burdens. We come alongside one another. So we're not saying up here, just get over it and go on. What we are saying is this, that God's got this. And that whatever happens, he's going to get glory from it. And if he heals you, it's his glory. And if he takes you on out of here, you're going to find out that what you went through was not anything compared to what you received. And that what you thought was ruining your life and was just the main focus wasn't really in comparison to eternity of what you get in the blood of Jesus Christ and what you get in a relationship with Him. Therefore, you will praise Him. And I don't know, maybe it's just where I'm at in my life. I have a vision of what I think my life should look like. And I'll be honest with you. It don't always look the way I think it's going to look. When I went into ministry, I thought this. Now, I was naive a little bit. But I thought to myself, if I just preach the word, people will like me. I want to blow your socks off this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to welcome you in my world a little bit. And it may shock you. Not everybody likes me. And you go in and they say things and they do things and they act a certain way and you think to yourself, well, God, where in the world are you? And you go in as a pastor and you think, God, if you grow my church, you're good. Like, God, if we get more people in here, you're good. And God, if you make sure everybody likes me, you're good. And God, if everybody talks about how great I am, you're good. Well, here's the truth. God's just as good packing this place out as He is emptying this place. God's just as good if 99% of you don't like me and 1% still are questioning it. Why? Because God is good. And He's good all the time. And I don't know why that's the first message for us today other than this. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know what this week holds for us. But here's the premise and foundation of where we will start. It's that God is good. And no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, we have a relationship with a Father who is taking us through it and who is walking there with us. And wherefore the Master goes, the servant will follow. And if the Master went through things, what makes things the servant will not go through the same things? We have the resources that if God at any time sees fit to overcome the tough thing that we're going through, He can. And we will pray that He will. But if He doesn't, He's still good. And therefore, we will be like Job. Though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Would you pray with me this morning? As our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, the invitation is a little different than normal this morning. We're going to get ready for a baptism, but we're going to start with the foundation and premise of exactly what we've preached this morning. Some of you are going through tough situations. Some of you have receiving phone calls of diagnosis. Some of you are struggling with a family member. Some of you are struggling with slander and criticism coming your way. Some of you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have a sickness that you can't overcome. And some of you are going through tough times and you are wondering where God is and how good God is. And therefore, you need to respond this morning with, God is good no matter what happens in your situation. And maybe you would just come this morning around this altar and start with the premise that God is good all the time. And if He doesn't ever take you out of that situation, if He doesn't ever release you, if He doesn't ever heal you, that God's still worthy of praise and adoration. Or maybe this morning you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. And therefore you don't understand how you could go through tough things in this life and have hope and have comfort and have peace. It's because you don't know the Master. And maybe where you are this morning, you would call out to Him and ask Him to save you, and He will. In fact, our pastor is going to be at the front. He's going to come stand right now. And here in a moment, when we get done praying, I'm going to shift out of the way. And he's going to be right here in front of you. And he'd love to pray for you. And he'd love to tell you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But then, as we start Revival Week, I know we're busy. I know we got a lot on our mind. I know it's the summer months. But what would happen with this church if we just established one foundation this morning, that God is good? What if this morning everyone came together, maybe around the altar or where you are, and essentially prayed this prayer, God, you are good, and you are good all the time. We will praise you, we will adore you, and we will worship you. Whatever you have for us, would you bring it? What he would do with South Fork Baptist Church. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would work, that you would have your hand upon this place this week. And God, we do really believe it. If you don't work things out the way we want them to work out, we're still okay, and we're still confident, and we're still trusting, for you are good. You are good all the time. We praise you, we adore you, we worship you. We seek to fill this place this morning with your glory, your honor, and your praise, and your worth. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we have this time of invitation together?
Amen. Linda's going to play. Listen, I know there's somebody that just needs to come, you know, and say, God, you're good. I would like for everybody that would like to see God move in their life, come forward now. Don't hesitate. We don't have a whole lot of time. Just come forward now and praise his name. Pray around this altar. Let God know you're serious about getting serious with the Lord this week. Spend your time. Thank you, guys. Thank you. How about somebody that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Today's the day of the salvation. God's touched your heart and you say, you know what? I need to get this right in my life. Come. Come and let me know. As we enter a time of prayer, so thankful when we think about our situations. You might be going through a really rough time, you know, but this message is showing you, you know what? I get my focus on my situation and not on the one that's in control of my situation this morning. And so you just need to, you know, say, you know what, God, in my mind's eye, I'm just placing this back in your hand and saying, Lord, you're in control, and I'm going to praise you regardless. Whatever the Lord might be saying to your heart. Just take a few moments and we'll go to Him in prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We gather around this altar, we stand in our pews, and Lord, we worship you and we say thank you, not for what you've done, but who you are. We praise you for being the God that's in control of every situation. Now, many situations, I'm sure, on people's hearts here that they've rehearsed in their mind and they've given over to you. Lord, I pray that they lay it at your altar right now and say, God, you're in control. Good or bad, you're always good. But our situations sometimes don't always look that way. But we're going to praise you regardless. And so I pray that, Lord, there's a breakthrough maybe in somebody that's struggling with a difficult situation this morning. Maybe somebody that's here that your Holy Spirit has quickened their heart. And, Lord, they've said to themselves, today I receive Christ as my Savior. I pray they'll make that known, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I pray for every person in this room. I thank you for the message that we've heard. I pray that we don't leave here the same, but we take this as a springboard for the rest of the week in our life, that we serve you with gladness no matter what comes our way. And so we thank you for that, and we praise you, God. Be glorified because you're good, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. In Jesus' name we ask it, all God's people said, amen, amen. My candidates for baptism, make your way to the front, please.